I didn't know there was a storm coming. Had I known, I might have done things differently. But I'd promised to help my teacher, Mrs. Taylor, clean the schoolhouse before she locked its doors for the summer. So I made my way up the lane from our glen to the top of the hill, past Toby's grave, though I stopped for a moment to lay my hand on his headstone, down again through a field of young wheat, and into the woods of Wolf Hollow. The trees themselves were friendly enough, and the sunlight filtering through their leaves tried its best to cheer me up, but the path through the hollow awakened dark memories I'd tried to put to rest. Memories that never slept soundly, and were apt to startle like birds at the smallest twitch, rising as they woke, while I fell deeper and deeper into gloom. Just months before, I'd tried to save my friend Toby from a girl named Betty. She, a bully through and through. He, a ruin of a man who made an ample target for a girl practicing her aim. Both of them gone now, except for the marks they'd left on me. The marks I'd left on myself, trying to be of help. Since Toby's death, I had been distracted by might-have-beens and if-onlys, consumed with what I could have done differently. Not quite trusting myself as I once had, all of which laid me low, especially when I walked through the woods that had once been Toby's home. But Mrs. Taylor was waiting for me, her broom and scrub brush, bucket and mop ready for work, and I was glad to join her for a task that would set me straight again, face forward, my memories folding their wings and settling again in their nests where they belonged.
"And how is your summer so far, Annabelle?" Mrs. Taylor asked as she polished dust and stove soot from the window panes. June was an odd time. School was out, which meant a pause in my most important job, but there was so much farm work to be done that I was busier than ever. "It's been fine," I said, sweeping up boot mud and dried bits of nimblewill. "Lots of planting to do. Strawberries to pick." She didn't need to be told. Most of us in the township were farmers. Everyone knew what that meant.
"But I love being outside, so..."
She nodded.
We worked on in easy silence, the schoolhouse strange without the squeak and shuffle of children at every desk and the patter of Mrs. Taylor huddled with one small cluster after another up at the chalkboard, the smell of warm bag lunches, meat sandwiches, oily cheese, a whiff of boiled egg. Instead, we shared a silence punctuated only by the squeal of newspaper wetted with vinegar that Mrs. Taylor was using to clean the windows, the hush, hush, hush of my broom, and then, unexpectedly, a knock at the door. Mrs. Taylor looked at me, and I at her. "Who on earth?" She climbed down off her stepladder and went along quickly to find out who had come and why. I followed her, standing back a little but able to see that there was a man on the stoop. Past 20, but not yet 30. Someone I'd never seen before. I would have called him handsome, but he wasn't. He was beautiful.
"Can I help you?" Mrs. Taylor said, wiping her hands on her apron.
"I hope so."
He smiled, his teeth even and white. He had a well-trimmed mustache, though no beard, which was unusual in these hills, where the two usually went hand in hand, and green eyes, my favorite kind. A big man, especially across the shoulders, with a barrel chest, like a lumberjack. Except he was dressed more like someone from town, in clean, tidy clothes, his cuffs buttoned, the kind of hat my father wore to church. The word gentleman came to mind, but his eyes were curiously flat, and I had a vague suspicion that he might not be quite what he seemed. Perhaps he had been in the war and was still finding his way all the way back from that. Or
I'm looking for my dog, Zeus,
he said, and I relaxed. I liked people who liked dogs.